Welcome to this special Think Tank edition of Lung Cancer Update. This is medical oncologist Dr. Neil Love. Shortly after the June 2007 ASCO meeting in Chicago, we gathered 11 clinical investigators to discuss and debate the clinical relevance of a number of new research data sets, including those presented at ASCO. My co-chair for this annual adventure was Dr. Tom Lynch, and to begin, we focused on perhaps the two most discussed lung cancer papers at ASCO, and certainly two of the most important clinical trial reports in the field in the last year. First, an EORTC study of prophylactic cranial irradiation in patients with extensive small cell carcinoma responding to systemic treatment, and the second, a phase 3 study in first-line metastatic non-small cell carcinoma comparing cisplatin gemcitabine alone or with bevacizumab, the so-called AVAIL trial. To begin, the faculty addressed the PCI paper, which was subsequently published in the August 16th issue of the New England Journal of Medicine. This study demonstrated a dramatic improvement in disease-free and overall survival and time to symptomatic brain metastases in patients receiving PCI. Dr. Wally Kern reviewed his current clinical PCI strategy in extensive small cell.
I have been using it for 20 years. I've considered it in patients who really have a very oligometastatic situation to start out with, have an outstanding CR and are restaged. You know, my concern about this study is they did not undergo meticulous restaging, including brain scans. So, you know, one argument, and we had this discussion at the RTOG meeting, is it possible these people were being treated for subclinical brain mets in the randomized trial?
I mean, so that if you had an imaging study that was negative, you might not get this benefit.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I just am not comfortable with a randomized trial where you don't look at the brain before you treat the brain, which is, as I understood, what happened. So, I mean, I have to assume there's probably a 10 to 25% risk of subclinical disease in people. Also, their definition of response to go on to the randomization was not particularly rigorous, correct?
Right, right.
So I'm not saying it's not an interesting observation, but it is not up to American clinical research standards. It's a startlingly positive study in this setting, and I want to learn more. You know, I mean, I'm very open to understanding how this helped people. The magnitude of survival benefits a bit puzzling. How can the survival benefit be greater than in limited disease? It just doesn't make sense, given the greater competing risk for mortality.
Nasser?
So a couple things. So I agree with Wally on the criticism that you should have gotten baseline. They were getting baseline brain imaging if there were certain criteria that made them suspicious of brain mets.
Right.
They didn't tell us how many patients actually got baseline brain imaging, so that would have been useful. The other thing was there was an imbalance in the percentage of patients who had other sites of mets, presumably liver and adrenal mets, and it was worse on the observation arm. The big problem that I have from ASCO this year isn't that it's not provocative and that we probably ought to be doing it for some patients.
Right.
It was the conclusion that this is now standard of practice for all responding patients with extensive stage small cell. To me, that's ludicrous. If you have a patient who has liver mets, adrenal mets, and they have some response to initial chemo, they're just feeling a little bit better now, to me, it's ridiculous to give that patient PCI. The fatigue scores did get worse. The quality of life scores were worse for about 6 months. Wasn't quite statistically significant.
Describe the patient you would do it on.
I would do it on the patient who you think is going to survive a while. They don't have the bulky liver, adrenal, bone metastases. The patient who has an excellent response and, you know, you're clinical intuition is that this patient is going to survive for a while with their disease, and they are going to be the patient who's going to suffer from the symptomatic brain metastases.
Corey?
If I'm not mistaken, there was an age cutoff as well. I think it was 70 or 75.
Yeah, it's not an extreme one.
Yeah.
Well, but it's typical of European trials where, you know, you go back to the adjuvant trials, both IALT and NIDA had 75 as the cutoff. So I've only seen one extensive patient since the meeting, and of course that patient was 82, so needless to say, he's not getting it.
Tony?
I think, you know, selected patients can benefit, and this study would support that. I agree, however, that most studies don't tell us about individual patients, even large trials. You use that information, exactly like Nasser was talking about, in the context of the patient you see, that's in your office that day. You don't just say, well, this study showed there was a survival benefit, so every extensive stage small cell patient I see, I'm going to have to use this therapy. Some doctors view it that way. It's not that way. You still select patients. And if you don't select patients, you're going to be on the low end of that curve of that study.
I'm curious how you would advise a patient, and maybe patient age 65 versus, say, 75, about the downside of PCI in addition to the expense and inconvenience.
I really can't say there's a huge downside in an extensive stage patient who's otherwise fairly healthy, and the patient's not going to live very long anyway. I mean, limited stage, it has a little more cogency. In extensive stage,
what do you see in limited stage in terms of the patients? Do you think you can pick up changes in their cognition?
Yeah, I think so. I think that some of them that survive have cognitive problems and other issues that have been fairly well documented over the years, and we can argue about that. But I think it's more real there than in this extensive stage population.
You agree, Wally?
Yeah, I agree. If you have shorter follow-up, you'll see less toxicity. I mean, you're talking about short-term memory, neurocognitive. I mean, what I describe to patients is, depending on the age and the fitness and the neurovascular health of a patient, it can accelerate the age-related short-term memory effects as a relatively predictable effect.